From the heart of Europe to the world, RTI.
Welcome back to part two of Postcard from Potbread. Don't forget Queen's Hospital over there in Romford. If you want to get in touch with us, it's very easy. www.rti.fm if you're listening via another station. We're going to move on to a great subject. Only the photographs I see, they're all fellas. I'd have much preferred it to be a lot. No. Anyway, invisible wetsuits is... is the topic of conversation down under. Or
in other words, nude swimming.
Not quite. A company in Australia has developed a range of wetsuits which they say renders the wearer nearly invisible or repulsive to sharks. Now, I want to know what numpty's going to go out there and test them. Rach, you going?
Well, there are many numpties who go and test things like shark cages and shark repellents, etc. Same numpties will this, but what I want to know is it also make it, like, you know, smell of visible? Does it take away one's odor? Because sharks smell you.
Well,
they also feel the vibrations in the water. Yeah. This thing makes me just laugh. I think it's a good idea if you want to go to a pool party and hide from your friends.
Yeah.
But, you know, are they going to have a thing for your head?
Well, yeah, because don't sharks smell fear as well?
Yes, they smell it all. They smell everything.
They smell everything, yes.
Wait,
there's an easier method than this.
What?
Just
don't go swimming where the sharks are.
Well, you can't do that in Australia.
What? Sharks are in the swimming baths? In the municipal swimming baths? Sharks?
Well, there's
like... Here I've mentioned Darwin.
You're swimming in behind your palatial mansion in Perth or Danube or whatever it's called.
Darwin's
got the most beautiful beaches I have ever seen, and Australia's known for beautiful beaches. But the beaches are beautiful, and I said to some of the locals, oh, I can't wait to go in there. I said, don't go in there.
Really?
Because you get eaten. And I said, by a croc or something. Like, we're saltwater crocs tend to sort of swim around in there, but you're more likely to get taken by a shark, so don't swim in there.
What, there really are saltwater crocs?
Yes.
What? Yes. Crocodiles that live in the sea?
Yes.
You're making it up.
No. Excuse me, Rachel. I shall show my knowledge of Australia. You call them salties.
Salties?
Uh-huh. Is that right?
Get them in the packet.
Salties, and the crocodiles that live in rivers, you call them freshies.
That's right.
You see, I'm a global knowledge.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to check this out. I don't believe there are saltwater crocodiles.
They go from the inlet.
They're just
make way from the inlet. They make their way from the inlet into the ocean and usually go back again. They can't find any food. But they don't hang around for very long, except if they find a human. In which case,
goodbye. Yeah.
There's that old joke about the saltwater croc who got into the ocean into a party of Czechoslovakian tourists.
Steady, girl.
And there was one missing. When the tourists returned to the beach, and they found this croc. And this male croc and one of the tour guides said, "Don't worry, the check's in the mail."
Oh!
Tumbleweed moment for Rachel. Hot pants, tumbleweed.
Anyway, moving along. The Motor City, as I know it, but as other people know it, America's base of car industry at one point, Detroit City, has filed for bankruptcy. And this is bizarre to us in the UK because it just don't happen. But it does in America. Does it happen in Australia?
Yes, we've had a couple go under in the last little while.
Really?
But not an entire city, but, an entire city. Holden went under, Ford's gone under, and they've taken up entire suburbs. So there's been our car industry's in deep trouble here.
Really?
Huge trouble, particularly Ford.
Oh, right. But Holden's like the big manufacturer in Australia.
Yeah, and they're based in South Australia in a place called Elizabeth, which is also the crime capital. But
well, actually, that isn't as funny as you think, is it, really?
No, hang on a minute, Lee. I should explain something. For Brits, Holden is Vauxhall, kind of, and for the rest of Europe, it's kind of Opel. So it's what we know anyway. It's just that they have bigger engines in Australia.
Yeah, because we've got bigger roads. Yes. And bigger reasons to get away from people.
I've seen the programme on television where the police are chasing people in Australia, and you hear this car going down the road with a V8 in it, and you think, oh.
Sounds like my Bentley.
Yeah, the trouble is, all the kids with their provisional licences are driving them and dying, so that's kind of a bummer.
Yeah.
Go on then, Lee.
Because I've got my serious head on today.
Uh-oh.
And I'm just, well, I've, you know, I've been to Detroit, and because of it being the music capital of the world, et cetera, then, you know, Motown was an amazing, amazing sound, and it still continues today. But it was just funny what you said, Rachel. That's what made me catch on to it, where you talk about the crime around that area. Detroit has actually crashed, not necessarily because of the depression, because of the way the economy's gone. It's because of its grotesque corruption and mismanagement. And the irony of the bankruptcy is that actually the private sector in Detroit have picked up on the Motor City thing and are ready to rebuild it. But everybody's been so corrupt and lifting money left, right and centre in all places they shouldn't have been dabbling, that the city's had to close its doors and say we can't afford to live. 15 billion they've gone for. One city, 15 billion.
No, 18, mate.
It's gone up now, is it?
That's the interest.
Right. So, right, because Lee and I don't know what happens when a city goes bankrupt. You've experienced it, or close to you. Yep. What actually happened?
When they closed the fort, this has only happened very recently, like in the last month. And basically you've got maybe 3,000 or 4,000 people that live in a suburb, and for us that's a lot.
Yeah.
And basically every single person in that suburb is employed by that company, and now they're all unemployed. Mm-hmm. So everything, I mean, talk about tumbleweeds. It becomes a giant tumbleweed, and then they have to seek employment elsewhere, which is really difficult because they're usually skilled in that particular field, and it's really difficult, and it's horrible to watch. You know, whole families that have existed for years in under the banner of this motor family have now been unadopted, disowned by you know Ford and Holden, and the government has injected money into it. Ex-Prime Minister Julia Gillard injected a bunch of money into it, but clearly not enough. Mm. And but the budget, we don't have the budget to save them. But shouldn't their parent companies be helping them out? Meanwhile, the Japanese companies are flourishing, Toyota and whatnot. They're fine.
Well, that's management. I mean, you can't expect a company from another country to bail out a subsidiary in another country.
No.
I mean, that's the same as what Tesco's have done recently, because in their last financial, this is sounding very serious today, in their last financial results, the biggest problem was their stores in America. So literally, they just closed them down because they couldn't afford to carry on with the losses. So,
These aren't cities. These aren't cities going bankrupt because of mismanagement within the city corridors of power, are they? We've got the similar things over there in England, still going back to the 80s when the mining industry was shut down and the steel industry. Whole towns and villages were devastated and remain devastated till this day.
What's the core issue is that, like, and I'll give you another example in the UK, a place called Luton, and that was a huge, everybody worked for Vauxhall, Holden,
that's right,
Opel, call it what you will, and then they closed the factory down because it wasn't making any money, That's the commercial pressure. And it's the same with the mining industry. The mining, the cost of coal was too expensive.
Yeah.
It wasn't going to bring the clean energy that everybody wanted. So it was an unsaleable product. But everybody sits there at that point and goes, and no disrespect to what Rach just said, they all say, okay, I've got these skills, find me another job. Well, you can't. Yeah. Because that industry, like black and white television sets, like analog television, like old-fashioned cars and four-star petrol, they don't exist anymore. You can't just say, well, I want to be a four-star petrol seller because I used to sell it. Sorry, those days are finished. So
our mining industry keeps us alive, and it up north in Queensland in particular is now winding down because nobody wants the resource anymore, and we're also running out of it. Now we've got a backup plan. Smart enough, we've got a backup plan. We've always got the diamonds.
Yeah,
and we've now got liquid natural gas, which is what Rob's working on now. He was going to go to the mining industry, but it's a dying thing. So now liquid natural gas is the way to go, but at least there's a plan A, you know, and a plan B.
Yep.
So, I mean, these towns in particular, like a place in particular called Mount Isa, which is known for iron ore, it's going to die. Coal's going to die. It's all dying. It's all gearing down. The resources is, you know, nothing. There's nothing left.
Well, we're looking now at fracking. Yeah, we're actually going ahead with fracking to release gas and natural resources. What fracking means is that you are splitting the earth in half. You're breaking into the stratas of the earth. It's absolutely terrifyingly dangerous.
But they do that with oil, Lee, so it's no different.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but everybody says that it is one of the most dangerous processes you can actually carry out.
So is getting natural gas out of the sea. So is oil. Yeah. Blah 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 blah.
But so we should be looking for some other form of
energy.
Power.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, couldn't agree with you more. I mean, I'm not an eco-friendly. I'm not good at all that stuff.
No.
But the fact of the matter is that not in my lifetime, but possibly in Rachel's lifetime, the oil supplies will diminish to such a degree where there won't be any fuel for the car. So you've got to find a new fuel source. It's simple. Anyway,
we're going to find synthetic energy.
Now they're switching to hybrids and stuff like that. But if I stay in the Northern Territory, my life expectancy is going to be pretty short anyway, isn't it?
Is it?
Why is that then?
You were telling me that.
Oh, right, okay. Anyway, yes. Must remember to send the bullet point first. Anyway, a little bit of a success story for London now.
But it isn't!
It is. London 2012 Olympics actually in the black, or is that
it's
gold?
Rubbish! It's absolute rubbish! Oh, it's a ridiculous report!
It's not a ridiculous report, because first of all, and this is my point about training and getting into new skills, etc., etc. Now, British firms, because of the Olympics, because what they did there, have won £1.5 billion of contracts from firms that are now selling stuff overseas. They've looked at the showcase of the Olympics, and people have gone, blimey, that's good. I'll have some of that.
Oh, dear, oh, dear.
What?
No, I'm sorry, I'm just listening to you.
Well, what's wrong with that? Showcasing your country. Australia actually is quite good at this. The Brits are rubbish.
We're great at it.
Sorry?
We're great at it. We ponce around and show off a bit. We do it great.
Yeah, exactly. So the Aussies go around and say, hey, look at my country. We're really good. The Brits go, hey, look at us. This is the Olympics. We've done really well. These are our skill sets. Do you want to buy them? People say yes. And instantly the Brits go, oh, that's a disaster.
But it isn't a disaster, but it's not the success it's being painted out to be. How could you put it? Let's say these benefit figures are flaky at the least. Just analyse what happened. How do we know, first of all, that the games brought economic benefits? How do we actually say what amount of money
the games actually produced. There were businesses around in those areas at that time which would have been making money. A lot of them were stopped making money, so they lost money. So you've got to take that into consideration, right, when you're doing it. And then also, all the money that's come in, there is £9.9 billion.
Lee's fine.
It says, no, he's having a terrible day. Right, he brought in £9.9 billion, apparently. I don't believe it did, but that's what they're saying it did. It cost £9 billion to put it on, so the most he made is 0.9 of a billion. What a load of rubbish.
Lee, you're missing a point here.
I'm not.
You are. If you look at the previous Olympics... Yeah. And even Commonwealth Games come to that. Loads of them have spent years and years and years, not always clawing the debt back or the investment back. And in actual fact, some of them, decades later, are still paying for the investment they made in the first place. They had not gone into the black. Now, if the thing costs £9 billion and you've got 9.9 back, you're in the black. It's logical.
Of course you are, but it's not made 9.9 billion profit, which is what people are trying to say. It's you've got to balance it out.
No, Lee, I'm not saying it's made profit.
1% profit. You could have got more if you had that £9 million in the bank.
Sorry, Rach.
My party's having a row.
I know.
What? I'm not having a row, am
I? Yeah, I think you were.
If you'd have put it in the bank, you would have got... If Britain had put that £9 billion in the bank, they would have got more on the poultry tax rates, interest rates that you get in the bank.
But you wouldn't have had the showcase, you wouldn't have had all the redevelopment. And all I'm saying is...
chicken.
You'd have got the money for nothing.
Hey?
You tax chickens.
Yeah.
Tax chickens.
You said poultry tax.
Yeah, poultry tax.
nearly recovered your tumbleweed moment.
Nearly. All I'm saying is, not that it made 9.9 billion profit. Yeah. What I'm saying is, it's in the black. It's not in the red. That is a massive achievement for any country that's hosted the Olympics.
All I'm saying, and I'm not having a row like Rachel thinks. We often talk like this, Rachel. All I'm saying is, that's right, they'd have got more if they'd left it in the bank. You didn't have to do it to get that. Put your 9 billion. If you'd have put the 9 billion
in the bank, how many people who got jobs, proper jobs, or working there at the time, who would have employed them? Nobody.
Most of them were actually doing it for free. Mm. Were actually working at the Olympics for no money at all.
The dole offices
were sending the rest there for expenses, and the security firms that were employing them were stitching them up and not bothering.
How would they get the money back?
And then there were the chickens.
Yeah, the chickens.
And the chickens. Yeah, those poor tax chickens.
And the turkeys.
Yeah, gobble, gobble.
Yeah, exactly. Now, I think it's wonderful.
I've got something there.
Rach, did you not have the Commonwealth Games recently?
We had Commonwealth Games. We also had 2000 Olympics in Sydney.
And what was the outcome of that? Do you remember?
I think we were black in both. We had the Commonwealth Games in Melbourne. We'd had the Olympics there before, so we already had the infrastructure. So that's probably why we got away with it there.
So you didn't have to spend the money.
That's all right, Lee. Thank you, Rachel. I love you. I love you, Rachel.
I love you, Rachel.
And
I love you, ladies and gentlemen.
Sydney Olympics was huge. It was the bicentennial. It was stupid.
What, bisexual games, did you say?
It was the year 2000. It was
the poultry joke.
It was the year 2000, so there was that, and we're really good at building things really quickly. Plus, we've got a lot of space as well, so we're really good at putting it together. And what's more, we are a popular destination to come to for an event like that. Australia's always had really good tourism, so we were in the...
You're in the pink anyway.
Well, basically, we were just... Okay, short story, we were brilliant.
Okay. Well, in which case, thank you again, Rachel, because as Lee probably won't have noticed, because he doesn't understand the word sport at all, there are more international sporting events now coming into the Olympic legacy areas. which means that the legacy value isn't just going to stop at 9.9. It will carry on growing.
Yes, but the big tent, the big £9 billion tent they put up in the centre of London is going to be turned into council houses.
Well, that's good.
I never said it was a bad thing. I just said it.
How did they get the invisible wetsuit into the Olympics?
So where are all these visiting sporting people going to go when the tents come?
It's only the... Oh, you're so negative. Anyway, it's not, mate, it's in the black. That's a good thing. Well done, Britain. And carry on selling your services overseas because nobody in England will ever appreciate them. Boeing's Dreamliner, is it a real nightmare? Yet another one has had to turn back because of a potential or possible fuel pump problem. So my question is, would you fly on a Dreamliner?
Never.
If I was asleep.
If you were asleep.
Never. Hey, do you know what? Speaking of Boeings and being asleep, I sleep with Boeing. I call it a rubbing 747. My God, it makes a noise.
Hey, that was nearly a tumbleweed moment.
That was nearly a tumbleweed moment, but we were kind.
We were.
Not sexist.
I'm not flying on anything called Dream anything, because dreams turn into nightmares, and clearly this has. And I mean...
very tabloid, dear.
Yeah, well, the other thing is...
Yeah. It's a lemon.
I love the one about the Ethiopian Airlines plane, because that was the one that caught fire in Heathrow Airport, and it was believed to have started in the battery of an emergency locator transmitter, which is a thing that goes off on its own if the plane ditches in the sea or something like that. So you can just imagine a... Bing bong, will somebody please turn the batteries on to the emergency locator transmitter? We're about to pile into the sea. I mean, you just can't have something like that. It's got to be something that Boeing have got to sort out, for goodness sake.
Of course they have.
It's not Apollo 13, for goodness sakes. There is technology. You know, there's none of them. No more of this, Houston, we've got a problem.
No.
Richard Branson must be salivating.
I'm sure he is. Liam Gallagher sues the New York Post along with loads of other people because he was a naughty boy and dipped his wick in the wrong thingy.
I think that's a terrible thing you've just said. How do you know he did it?
Well, everybody
says he'll be suing us now.
Will he? Oh, right. Go on then, Liam.
Where the beaver came from?
What?
What?
Where do you think Justin Bieber came from? I reckon that's the work of...
What, Liam Gallagher's Justin Bieber's father?
Yeah, I reckon. They're both. It only stands to reason. There's an obnoxious gene definitely being carried down there.
Is that what you think?
Yeah.
The thing is, what I don't understand, quite seriously, I like being serious. I'm going to be serious forever more now. And it's the fact, why the heck? See, I noticed I didn't do the double L, I did the E-C-K.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Why the heck does Liam Gallagher think he can sue the New York Post?
I have no idea.
It's him who did what Eric says. It's him who tried to hide. I know from personal experience, the press have been trying to expose this rock star for almost a month now, and finally it was The Sun what did it. They discovered...
Lovely tabloid headline, The Sun what did it. Yeah, right.
Yeah, he'd used all sorts of means and measures to stop the press naming him as this potential dad. And he was getting away with it. But why should he get away with it?
Well, he
did something bad.
He didn't do anything bad. He did what was good at the time, and now he's got to pay the consequences.
And it's bad now.
The sun exposes the sun.
Exactly. Now, which way do I go? We've only got a few minutes left on
the
programme.
Can I do the sad one?
Sorry?
Can I do the sad one, please?
Oh, go on then.
We lost a really talented and young man this week, Corey Monteith from Glee. He died age 31. He was found in his Vancouver hotel room. The toxicology report showed that he died of a combination of alcohol and heroin. He spent some time in rehab not very long ago, about a month, really not long enough. He was doing quite well, apparently, when he came out, but demons are demons. He went back to his hometown because he is Canadian, spent some time with his girlfriend, Leah Michelle, who is also in Glee, and his family, and he was found dead on Saturday. They expedited the autopsy because of who he is and what was going on. The sad thing I have heard today is that he's already been cremated and his father was not present. I think he may be estranged. Mm. Father wanted to be there but wasn't there. And now the big question is, what are they going to do with this show? Because this show is enormous. What will they do? Will they? They're about to start filming season 5. What will they do? Will they replace him? I don't think they will because of the demographic. And the kids who watch this won't tolerate somebody else playing that part. I don't think they'll make him disappear. I think what they'll do is they'll actually kill his character off, and I think it's the right thing to do.
The cast has been pretty quiet.
Jane Lynch, who plays Sue Sylvester, who's a brilliant actress, she was on Leno last night and clearly didn't want to talk about it but had to. This is the sort of guy Corey Monteith was. It had been known to him that a terminally ill fan the dying wish was to meet him. Mm. He flew way across the country on his own dime to go and meet this kid before they passed away. Nice. I mean, this is just sort of... He's always been really open about his drug and alcohol addiction. Started at 13. Mm. He was a very talented drummer. He was just a really good guy. I really feel for his family. I feel for his girlfriend. She's now got to have to go back into the limelight under all this pressure. She's only 26. That whole Glee cast, when you do a show like that, and I have some personal experience with this, you become a real family, and they all must be suffering horribly. So our thoughts and our good vibes all go out to the cast and the family and the friends of Corey Monteith. Another one gone way too soon.
Our thoughts and prayers are also with the actress and presenter Linda Bellingham, who's been diagnosed with cancer. Good luck to you, Linda. You're a lovely person, a really nice lady, and she's just such a warm character. Obviously seen on Loose Women more recently, but came to fame with the old Oxo television adverts where she played the good old mum. Unfortunately, we won't have time to talk about petrol prices going up by 5p a litre in the UK, but we will have time to fit in one just for Rachel, a new machine that takes sweat-laden clothes and turns them in to drinking water is in use.
Why have you picked that one for
Rachel?
That's a bit rude.
You're
not sweating.
No, because I live in a humid climate, but that's very big rules. And you know, eco-friendly, I personally feel a bit sick and a little bit of sick has come into my mouth as we talk about it, but... I think it's a wonderful idea if there's a water shortage. I live in a drought country, you know. Yay for the environment.
The bloke who drank £102,000 worth of whiskey there.
Rubbish to that.
I don't want to know where the sweat's coming from.
Exactly. So if you want to find this wonderful thing, you can go to Gothenburg in Sweden and you can try this wonderful drink that's the sweat from another person's body. Blech. I don't think so. Time to say goodbye, Rach.
Goodbye, Rach.
Time to say goodbye, Lee.
Goodbye, Lee.
Good grief. We'll see you again next week, boys and girls. Thank you very much for your company. Same channel, same time next week. That was Postcard from Pop Brand.
The Station of the Stars. RTI.